This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Scott Peterson has been thrown into irons and tossed into a hole for the murder of his wife. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Hendry. Starting the program off in a newsy vein. Scott Peterson, they slapped the cuffs on him. They threw him into a dungeon down there with a variety of hoodlums and rapscallions and reprobates. He's been arrested for the murder of his wife, Lacey Peterson. Doesn't come as a shock to any of us, obviously. I guess most of the people that I spoke with believe the guy did it. And certainly everyone that seemed to be talking about this in the news media believed that he did it. And everybody on court TV believed that he did it. And everybody on Fox TV believed that he did it. The only guy that didn't believe that he did it was him. Maybe he had himself talked to, and maybe his mom and dad, and that's where they busted him. Down at mommy and daddy's house. Now, at 6 o'clock tonight, there's going to be a news conference that will be conducted by the Modesto police, and I imagine at that time they will announce that they've arrested Scott Peterson and that they've had some physical evidence that connects him to the murder of his wife. Maybe we'll also find out whether those two bodies that they've recovered from the San Francisco Bay are the bodies of Lacey Peterson and her unborn son. And that is 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. So at 6, I'm sure they will announce that they've arrested him, and probably how this news leaking out is taking a little bit of their thunder away from them. I don't know who had this first, but we got this off of a San Francisco television station website, and also I think Fox News had it and a few others. Scott Peterson has not been seen in the usual places in recent days, and friends and family who often knew his whereabouts aren't talking. If Peterson's attorney, Kirk McAllister, knows where Scott is, he emphatically isn't saying. This, by the way, is as of yesterday. So we're just giving you a kind of a lead up to when he was arrested today. He brushed by reporters without comment on Wednesday, except to say he was on his way to court. A telephone answering machine at the home of Scott Peterson's sister, Susan Cadillo, refers media calls to the Lacey hotline. A woman answering the Lacey hotline takes a message but says the family will not be returning calls. Curiously, it's the same answering service woman that takes calls to Scott Peterson's warehouse headquarters for his agricultural chemical business. And the message is the same. If the Modesto police have an idea where Scott Peterson is, and you might think they would, they're keeping it to themselves. At a news conference on Tuesday, Detective Doug Ridenour said, "I don't know where Scott Peterson is, and if I did, I couldn't tell you." For quite a while after Lacey Peterson disappeared, Scott wasn't hard to find. He'd show up daily at the volunteer search headquarters to help work the phones, or he could be found working around the Modesto house that he and Lacey shared. Even when reporters and camera crews filled his street, Scott came and went at will. But as of yesterday, although the grass looked freshly cut, neighbors said the house has looked abandoned lately. Neighbor Corey Emerson described the house as very quiet, no cars there. You don't see any movement. Obviously, the yard's getting done, but we don't know by who. Out on the edge of town, a spokesman at the Del Rio Golf Course told News that Scott had sold his membership. In San Diego, camera crews have been staking out the home of Peterson's parents, but no one has reported seeing Scott. A sister there told a television news reporter that Scott was not in San Diego. Well, now we know that he was. We also now know that Modesto police knew where he was. And I said early on, it's tough to imagine that you don't have a guy like this under constant surveillance 24 hours a day. You know what I got to stop doing? I got to stop listening to the news and reading the newspapers. They don't know anything. You guys say, you think I got an inside source? Forget it. I get my news the same place you do. These guys don't know anything. Where is Scott Peterson? Is he here? Is he there? Where's Saddam? Is he here? Is he there? Well, maybe he's here. Maybe he's there. I'm just going to start going with my own instincts on these things. From now on, I'm just going to go with what I suspect is the case. And right now, I suspect the guy's been arrested. Oh, you mean they already reported it? So anyway, he's arrested, and as of 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock Eastern, they'll have a press conference from the Modesto police about the developments in that case. Now, it's been speculated that they've got some physical evidence that they've been able to link, because just because you find the woman's body and the baby's body doesn't mean that he put them there. They got to have something more solid. And they probably have that. So, hence the arrest. We'll find out. I'll be sit there glued to court TV along with the rest of you. And we'll tell you what we find out from that press conference tonight. And this is the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And today in Iraq, They were all protesting about the United States being there, and they don't want us there, and they want us out. These are the Shiite Muslims who were coming out of their Friday prayers and basically saying, America, go home. We don't need you. And I was looking at that. I thought, no, that's fine. That's okay. We will go home. And if you want to have a religious Islamist government, fine. First of all, those protests in Baghdad are provoked by the Shiite Muslims, not only in Iraq, but in Iran. That's so obvious, it's not even funny, that the Iranian Shiites are trying to provoke the Iraqi Shiites into an anti-U.S. stance and attitude. That's so obvious. It's just disgusting. I wish I knew how the rank and file of the Iraqi people felt. That would be a nice thing to find out. How do they feel about us being there? Something tells me they don't mind us being there at all. But this is the protestations of the Shiite Muslims, who are a cantankerous bunch. They're a violent bunch. They're a arrogant bunch. They think they got the answers to everything. They think they're the smartest Muslim that ever came down the pike. They think that they're God's anointed Muslim, and they're a pain in the ass to everybody and anything that ever crosses their path. And now they're in Iraq, and they're saying, America, go home. And that's fine. I got no problem with that. I got one of two answers for them. We'll go home when we're ready, which may not be such a good idea, because the more crap they stir up, the more we look like a unwanted occupying force, which is not the case. The Iraqi people, by and large, are probably very happy that we're there. But the Shiites will lie, cheat, and steal their way into any propaganda position that they need. So barring that, here's what I think we ought to do. I think we ought to treat them the same way post 9/11 that we treat the Iranians. You want to have your little Allah, you want to have your Islamic Republic? Is that what you want? You all want to walk around with the towel wrapped, and you want to go to the mosque, and you want to do that, huh? You don't want to have like a country where everybody can celebrate their own religion. You want to have your Islamic little republic. Is that what you want to do? Like your big brother Iran there? Okay, go ahead and do it. But we're telling you right now, you better run and run far and fast if we get any more crap out of you. Because like I said, times have changed, the party's over, it's all over. All those good old days of being shocked by airplane hijackings and going to the UN when somebody else was shot and thrown out onto a runway or into the Mediterranean like garbage. All those days of America being outraged and trying to get the cooperation of other governments. That stuff's done. Now what we do is we bust out the warthogs, we bust out the jets, we bust out the bunker busters and the mother of all bombs, and that's how we're going to get it done from here on out if you give us any crap at all. Because we're tired of it, we're sick of looking at you as much as you're sick of looking at us. And with your big fists up in the air and death to America, you guys can have any kind of a crap hole country you want over there. Put any mullah that you want in charge, any little strutting Napoleon that you find, any, Stalin wannabe that you find, stick them in there, that's fine. But any more crap, and you better find a deep hole to hide yourself in, because we're not going to take it any longer. Well, we've had to put up with much at the hands of America. Oh, you ain't had to put up with squat. You haven't had to put up with near as much from us as you've had to put up with Saddam and the rest of those scumbags. So don't give me that dance. And those Iranians, man, they're real popular with their people, aren't they? What are they called? Mullahs? Those guys over there with the turbans? So now they want us out of Iraq, all the little Shiite Muslims and the Sunnis and the Kurds, and maybe they won't do it, maybe they will. But what do they want? They want us out now, but they want our money? It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're not going to leave and then just leave you a big bag of money, and here you guys can divide it up and do what you want. Those days are done. Those days of a big bag of dough, and you guys pick out how much you need and build your bridges, and if anything goes wrong, it's our fault. No, 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 no. This is one American who is going to be very bitterly disappointed if Bush tries to go down that road. I don't think we can keep them from doing anything they want to do in Iraq. We can't. Well, one thing we can keep them from doing is becoming another haven for terrorists, another training ground for terrorists, and just another Islamic Republic with blood on its hands. We can keep them from doing that. We can stop them from doing that. We can't stop them from having the government that they want. They can have anything they want. They want to have an Islamic government, which is a joke. But if they want that, they can have it. But we can stop them from that business-as-usual bullcrap that's been going on in that part of the world since time began, which we are now doing something about. Terror camps, terror training grounds, giving money to terrorists. You know, they're coming in out of town like they're visiting uncles. They're staying over at Saddam's place. They're going to stay over at the Mullah's place. That stuff is done. And this is one American who, if we find out that it's still going on, I will be completely in favor of sending them right back in, sending the guys right back in. No problem. So if that's what you want, you can have it. Just remember, Big Brother is watching. Or, as I saw in that movie one night with Edmund O'Brien, long live Big Brother. All right, 1-800-449-8686. If you missed it, Scott Peterson has been arrested in the disappearance of his wife, Lacey Peterson. Scott Peterson in custody in San Diego at this hour. New news coming out about that. We will report it to you within seconds. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, I want to get this straight. We have a Clear Channel reporter in San Diego who doesn't have the time to come on the air with me. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what you told me. You said he just got there and he was getting information, and the next time that he could come on the air would be at the 45 break. Put Janice on the air, please. Would you put her on the air, please? Thank you.
No,
okay.
What he said was he's just arriving at the destination and in front of the home, and he wanted to get as much information as he could. There he's doing breaks, and when he can do a break with us is at 45.
So what's he doing breaks for every station in the company? Is that it?
Well, no. I think he wants to make sure he's got his information first. He's just arriving outside the Peterson home, because ever since it leaked that he's been arrested, everybody's flooding in front of the home to get there, so he's on his way to get there.
He's not there.
He's a block away.
Well, then we were told the wrong thing by the station in San Diego.
Well,
they said they had a reporter there.
We were told he was right outside the station, and he's not quite there yet.
Right outside the
home.
I'm sorry,
right outside the Peterson home.
And what is he doing? He's doing breaks for who?
I imagine for the local San Diego affiliate. And I think what he was concerned...
What affiliate? I don't have an affiliate in San Diego.
No, but what he's saying is apparently there's been some trouble because they're concerned about stealing the thunder from the Modesto people. The Modesto people want to make the announcement.
Modesto police?
The Modesto police. And the family wants to make sure that the information is fed through Modesto people before anybody else gets hold of it.
Well, the information's out. The guy's been arrested. What else? What other information is there? What kind of physical evidence links him?
I guess that's it. And who actually has...
So what's this reporter's name?
Wade Douglas.
Okay, so he's going to come on with you at 45?
Yes, he said he can do a break with us at 45.
See?
Well, what?
Thank you very much, Janice.
I got all excited. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I'm sorry I yelled.
Okay,
thank you, hon. Yeah. I mean, it's very unprofessional of me to call you honey.
Yes, sir.
All right, so there you go. And I thought that, they were refusing to get on the air with us. That's what I thought. So I screamed and yelled and demanded people be fired. But that's what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do. And you know, this is not a news reporting show. We don't report the news here. We just try to get the things that are newsworthy or that have already been reported and try to get to the bottom of it, either in a news-breaking kind of a way or with the marvelous, wonderful, funny satire that we do. But as you heard, significant changes to be announced in the Lacey Peterson case. Everybody knows that Scott Peterson's been arrested, so I imagine that Modesto PD has got something else. And I would guess that it's whatever physical evidence they have that links this guy, unless they think that they're going to be giving us a newsflash on Scott Peterson being arrested, which it ain't. So there we got Iraqi protests. These protests that are going on in Baghdad make no sense at all. They make no sense at all. So that's why I say they are being promoted by the Shiite Muslims in Iran. Because they don't make any sense. If you don't put the Iranians in the middle of that, they don't make any sense. They don't make any sense. And nobody's going to tell me, oh, what are you talking about, Phil? The Iraqi people, they want to govern themselves. No. The Iraqi people are happy to have Saddam gone. They are also happy to have had him gone at the hands of the United States. And they don't want us out. They want us to coordinate. And they want us to shelter and to shepherd a little bit. And to make sure that they don't have more looting, etc. And let's talk about this looting for a second. If anybody wants to hear the truth and sensible truth, the fact that those people are looting is not surprising. And the fact that they are looting the way they're looting, which is widespread and very damaging, isn't surprising at all. They lived for almost 25 years under the iron fist of one of the greatest scumbags in history. A murderer, a torturer, a serial rapist, a psychopath. This is a guy who disappeared people. By that I mean he kidnapped them, had them killed, and the families never found out what happened to them. This is a man who took so many people, in fact. You've got Iraqi citizens looking under sewer manhole covers because they think there's whole prisons down there of people. That's the urban legend. There's some kind of an urban legend running around Iraq where that Hussein's got underground prisons. Now, the Iraqi people are glad to be free of this guy. And they are not such an unsensible or insensible people that they would not want their country to have a fighting chance at some kind of order and stability. I don't see Iraqis out in the street saying, America, get out. I see a demonstration organized by Iranian Shiites grabbing hold of the Shiite Muslims in Baghdad, demanding an Islamic state. Now, I think the time has come to ask a couple of questions. Just who is it that wants Islamic states? Do the people want that? Or is this a handful of towelheads with their Quran in one hand and their thing in the other, running around and standing up in their pulpits and giving the big speech? I think it's a bunch of megalomaniac mullahs who've all banded together, and they say the best way to go is the Islamic State, and the way we're going to do it is to tell the people that the Jews are responsible for their misery and the Americans, and that way we'll get what we want, which is a country run by the Quran, chopping off hands, etc., shooting women in soccer stadiums, all the great things that the Quran brings you. That's what's going on. And I say that if we can, we let the Iraqi people see through that bullcrap. Or if we can't, and they really want to have their fun little Islamic state, then we give them the word, life has ended as you know it. Any more 9/11s? And it looks like you're going to be having some more American troops there. That's how I feel about it, and maybe I'm completely insane, but I've been insane for years. You know, I look at things straight on, or as straight on as a guy who has lost his mind can. I'm Phil Hendry. I'm sorry I yelled at you, Janice. I wasn't yelling at you. I was getting angry at whatever was going on. 1-800-449-8686. And now that I know that nothing's going on, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got a reporter at the home of Scott Peterson's parents, and we're going to talk to him in about 10 minutes. But police have taken into custody the husband of missing pregnant woman Lacey Peterson. According to CNN, he was arrested in San Diego by the Modesto, California Police Department. They will not say what charges were filed. On Thursday, the Stanislaus County District Attorney James Brazelton said he felt pretty strongly that recently discovered bodies were Lacey Peterson. Lacey's stepfather said Thursday that he had not heard from the prosecutor. According to the Associated Press, our family's waiting until we are personally told, not the press. The DNA tests are being conducted because the body was missing its head. Sources close to the investigation told CNN, without the skull, investigators cannot use dental records, the quickest tool in body identification. In addition to an anthropologist that was called into the case, hair samples from a brush used by Peterson were also analyzed to see whether the missing woman's DNA matches. And they also have enough DNA from the infant to see if it matches the mother. All of this done this week. And I don't know whether it's over yet, but there is some material evidence the police think they have that may link Scott Peterson to this, so he's been arrested. We're going to talk, as I say, to a reporter near the Scott Peterson home. But in the meantime, we're going to do a little Comedy Gold flashback from yesterday. So what we'll do is we'll have comedy and we'll bracket it with, headless bodies. What are we doing? Anyway... this is Lloyd Bonafide. Lloyd was on our show yesterday saying that if you see an Iraqi veteran, a guy who is in combat in Iraq, give him a wide berth, be very careful, because he may want to rip your throat out of your neck. And Lloyd got into it with a veteran of Korea and Vietnam who thinks Lloyd needs a psychiatrist.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I believe that this gentleman needs to turn himself into the VA hospital for psychiatric evaluation.
Oh, come on. That's what the other woman said.
No. Just a minute, sir. Let me finish speaking. You saw Chinese in a Buddhist temple in Japan. That was one
thing. Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Wait a minute. Now, you said you're a combat veteran. Well, sir, I faced Chinese who wanted to take me and 600 other of us off a hill. And we fought for 22 days. I was also in Vietnam. I was in the Golden Triangle. Never did I ever say I wanted to kill my wife, who looked me in the eye, and we looked in yourself in the eye. We've been married 47 years now. You really never saw combat. If you got hurt because of, I just wonder how that happened. The deck charges that I'm aware of off of a destroyer, a roll off the end, or they're shot off with the Y, and so I don't know how that happened.
It was while they were loading ordnance. It happens all the time. And let me tell you something.
You said you were in the Golden Triangle, so was I.
Can I say something here, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
The Golden Triangle, I've been down there plenty of times. What was her name?
It wasn't a hooker. It's a
the
part
Golden
of...
The Golden Triangle is an area in Cambodia and Vietnam.
All right.
Wake up, friend.
Well, you know,
look at the light. You really have a problem.
Wait a minute.
One of my best friends got a Congressional Medal of Honor in World War II in combat in Belgium, and we served together in Vietnam. And he never ever said that somebody looked him in the eye is going to kill him.
Let me ask you a question.
Somebody took his beer away from him.
He almost killed a man because he took his beer? What a psycho!
No, I said that the only time that I think that he would ever got angry at somebody is if they took a beer away from him. But he never, and sir, to look at your grandchildren, 5-year-old, and say that you want to kill him, again, as a veteran to veteran, turn yourself into the VA and get yourself a psychic evaluation.
Well, this is Phil Hendry. I think that was very well said.
What do you know about it? You're a slacker sitting over here.
Don't call me a slacker. I'm 50 freaking years old. What do you want from me? Now, I want to ask you a question.
Look, Bill, you never looked at your wife's windpipe and wanted to use it as a straw.
Never in my life.
What did I say that's so crazy? You're calling me crazy.
Well, that's just it. Look, a man...
Well, you just said you wanted to kill your 5-year-old grandson because you thought you looked like Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck. My God, friend.
Wait a second. Are you trying
to... As a veteran, I'm asking you, and I'm pleading with you, as a member of the disabled American veterans, I have a disability. I'm retired disability.
You didn't get something blown off, did you?
Do yourself a favor. Did I get something blow up? No, but I saw my friends get blown up.
Beside the crack I made about my grandson, what else did I say that was crazy?
Well, first of all, I can't believe you said you were in a firefight. Having a drum fall on your foot is not a firefight. Man, you haven't seen a firefight. You haven't looked down at somebody trying to catch you and kill you while they're firing back at you and you're firing at them. That's a firefight.
So
not having a drum fall on your foot.
It wasn't a drum. It was a depth charge.
You were traumatized, and I believe... And as a veteran, again, I implore you, go to the VA, get yourself...
Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. My grandson's here. What? You're going to start in with that again, huh? Because I'll...
Don't you lay a hand on that kid.
Well, he's doing it again, saying I look like, this time, Porky Pig.
Okay. Listen, Bill...
Yes.
Very good. Thank you for your call.
Bill, what would you do with
a
kid?
Pleasure.
What would you do with your grandkid if he said you look like Porky Pig? I bet you'd want to...
You know something? What I would do? I'd laugh at him and I'd say, you know something? You might be right. He's a kid.
He might be right. What an insult.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Lloyd is always one step away from the loony bin, that guy. Korean War veteran. And he felt that as a veteran, you can't mess with him. And his kid said he looked like Donald Duck. And he wanted to kill him. All right, this is Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I hope in a few minutes we'll have Wayne Douglas, right? Wade Douglas, Janice, available to talk with us. And we will then put him on the air. We'll see what's going on down there in San Diego at the Peterson House. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So you know that Scott Peterson's been arrested in San Diego, and I got Wade Douglas on the line. He's a Clear Channel radio reporter, a news reporter in San Diego. Hello, Wade.
How you doing?
Good, man. So you are, I know you're doing breaks for all the stations. I just want to get information, the information that you have, and anything that you may have that, you know, somebody else doesn't have. When was he arrested?
Well, we make it at some time this morning. Now the word is finally getting out. They were denying it for the longest time in law enforcement here locally. He was arrested by the San Diego County Sheriff's Department, and he might have been arrested while golfing at Torrey Pines. We've not been able to confirm that yet, but that's the latest strong rumor that's floating around down here. I'm staked out outside his parents' house here in Solana Beach, fairly upscale neighborhood. Both their cars are in the driveway. They have not come out of the house in the time I've been here. There is a note pinned to the door that refers us to call the Lacey Peterson hotline if we want information. It also says they will not talk to the media here at the house, although we're still hoping they might, especially after the Modesto Police Department holds that 6 p.m. news conference at which they are expected to lay the whole case out.
You know, Lacey Peterson hotline, that was set up by Scott thinking she was missing or trying to present to the public the idea that she was missing, correct?
Well, exactly. The note, in effect, says if you read between the lines, just go away.
Okay.
So,
well,
no,
I can't. Not being the reporter you are, I didn't get that. Also, Wade, the DNA of Lacey and of the infant may provide some material evidence. Do you have any idea of what else materially they got that might connect Scott to this?
Well, you know, I don't know. I suspect at 6 p.m. they're going to announce they've arrested him on probable cause. As far as what evidence they have, that may wait until the trial.
What's probable? Can you define probable cause for us?
Well, you know, when they say probable cause, they're talking like they have a amount of circumstantial evidence.
Oh,
how
I see.
Hard evidence they don't know.
Yeah.
But I've seen people convicted before on circumstantial evidence.
And then circumstantial being her body was in the bay, Scott was at the bay, and it's likely that he dumped her there.
Exactly.
Okay. Are we covering everything? Okay. Well, we thank you very much, Wade, for giving us that background.
Well, glad to join you. I wish I had some more hard facts at this point, but it's been an afternoon of rumors. So.
We'll stay on you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
Bye-bye. There you go. Busted while golfing, huh? Well, now ain't that something. Having himself a little morning on the links? I bet you he was ready to just crap when he saw those guys coming at him. You know what's funny about the cops? A lot of times they'll wait for you to finish your round because they don't want to cause a panic. You know, in other words, they don't want to go out onto the golf course, cops, and take you off of the golf course. It might upset people. There was a guy they arrested on the some guy back east. Remember we did a whole bit on that? They waited for him to come off the course. And, you know, of course, we assumed that the reason why they waited for him to come off instead of arrest him there was that police have impeccable golf etiquette. And they don't want to walk on the green when you're putting. Just stupid stuff. I think we interviewed him on the golf course, too. That's right. So there you have it. Scott Peterson is, he's in trouble, man. This guy's in big, big trouble. You know, how do you kill your wife and your kid? I mean, seriously. I mean, we've all fantasized about it, of course. You wouldn't be a normal man. But how do you do this? I talked to somebody, I thought this is the most intelligent thing I've ever heard. This is the most intelligent appraisal of the criminal mind, the sociopathic mind. The sociopathic mind. Because if I hear it said once, I hear it said a thousand times, and it never ends, you can't escape it. It's like that bad smell that you can't get out of the drapes. You know, television causes violent behavior, and you just want to throw your hands up and weep. You just want to bury your face in your hands and cry. It doesn't matter if you say to people, I grew up with violent television, I'm not violent. They still want to say that violent television causes violence because they frankly do have some connection to it. So I'm talking with a friend of mine the other day who's a psychiatrist. And she said, and I believe this, you know, biochemically, there is a thing called predisposition to certain behavior. And if you do not get, almost instantaneously from the time you are out of the womb, if you do not get certain environmental stimulus that is positive, it could be tactile, it could be hugging, could be kissing, could be breastfeeding, could be a lot of things. With literally before you're the age of two or three, you can become a psychopath. Your personality has been formed. There are children who are bedwetters. They have that, what they call the homicide triangle, the bedwetting, the torturing of animals, and the arson. That literally, by the time they're 8 or 9, you can give their DNA to the FBI but when they're adults, it's ready to rock and roll. Now, let's talk about those two pieces of crap in Colorado. Klebold and Harris. Okay? I said on the air at the time when it happened, I said they came out of the womb garbage. They came out of the womb that way. And of course, I got all these people calling. Children are pure and they are only, you can never say that. Oh, my ass. These two guys came out of the womb with a chemical predisposition, a biochemical predisposition to violence. Now, here's where television does come in. To you and me, relatively normal people, we can go to the movies or watch a violent television program, sort of amuse ourselves with it or be repulsed by it or whatever it is, however we get our kicks, leave the theater, go have a cup of coffee, and we're done. To a individual with a biochemical predisposition to violence, that is a stimulus. That can be. But there's a lot of other stuff involved. And one of the biggest things involved when it comes to a psychopath is they are fantastic liars. They lie like you've never seen anybody lie before. They can have you believing, as this guy Peterson has people believing, as Ted Bundy had people believing, that they're the greatest guy in the world. How could you say, what are you calling me a murderer? Yes, we think you killed your wife. What are you talking about? I love my wife, you know. They're pretty good murderers. They're pretty good liars. Some better than others. And why is that important? Because when Ted Bundy was getting ready to get strapped into the electric chair, he gave a series of interviews, and in the interviews, they were the most ridiculous things you ever heard in your life. He said, you know, it was pornography that turned me to a life of crime, and I'd like to just say to everybody now, you should get rid of pornography if you don't want your kids to turn out like me. And I remember thinking, boy, Ted, there you go again, man. You're just full of crap, aren't you? Just trying to control the situation to the end, man. That's what a psychopath wants to do. They want to control everything. Maybe pornography provoked him, but it doesn't provoke everybody. And when you ask why is that, and you say, oh, come on, Phil, look at, there's some kids that had come from loving homes and other kids that come from horrible homes. How is it these kids can grow up to be opposite people? And I say to you, It is an area of science that we're just now beginning to understand, the biochemistry of the brain, that when a child is born, biochemically, maybe even genetically, which is the same thing, he has a predisposition to certain kinds of behavior, a certain kind of personality, a certain kind of... Look, I have insomnia. I don't sleep well. And I haven't slept well all my life. I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't know it was called insomnia. It was just called me waking up and listening to the radio. That's what I would do when I was a kid. I would wake up and go, well, I don't feel like sleeping right now, and I'd turn the radio on. And because I was a kid, I really wasn't tired. I had a lot of energy. By the time I hit my 20s and my 30s, I knew that what I had was a thing called insomnia. Why? My brother would sleep across from me. You'd think he was dead. My brother would sleep with the blankets on him and just... I mean, the cat is dead, man. My old man would snore and the whole... You'd think the house was coming down. Me, I don't sleep. Why is that? Because I somehow, the biochemistry that I inherited, maybe from my mom, I don't know, gave me this predisposition to insomnia. And I walked in my sleep in my 20s. Guess who else? My old man would walk in his sleep. He walked in his sleep later in his life. Thank God I don't do it anymore. I haven't done it since my 20s and since I stopped doing certain things. Anyway, since I stopped serial murder. So the urge can be controlled or lay dormant for a long time, maybe even controlled by that person because they know somehow if I give into it, something's going to change my life. But it's a need to dominate and control another person in order to be able to feel something, feel some emotion. For a guy like David Westerfield, if he hasn't killed before, which may not be the case, I mean, maybe he did, he was able to somehow keep the lid on this for a long time in his life. But probably other things happened in his life that evidenced his psychopathic behavior. Maybe he was a liar. Who knows? You know, maybe he was like a serial liar. I don't know. But in any event, boom, guy turns 50, and now he's a piece of crap. He's murdered. I don't even think there's a psychiatrist that you can go to for it either, because psychiatrists and psychologists don't know how to treat it at all. What are you going to do with it? So there you go. So that's what I think goes on with a guy like this, what's his name, Peterson. This guy was born with a predisposition, and somewhere in the first 3 years of his life, somebody wasn't taking care of him. Something happened. Something parentally happened. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Our number, 1-800-449-whatever the hell it is. Call in, and I'll kick your ass. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, everybody, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills this Easter Sunday. We are going to have a delicious prime rib and honor our fallen heroes in Iraq this Sunday.
Here at Ted's, wanna put our meat in your mouth.
All right, this is the Phil Hendry Show. This portion brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Thanks for joining us, Ted.
Phil, it is always my pleasure.
And I want to remind our audience that we're going to have more updates on, of course, the Scott Peterson situation.
Phil, I just want to say, if I could, because I know I'm not on the program to talk about it, I'm inviting everybody down to Ted's tonight. Drinks are half price in celebration of the arrest of Scott Peterson. I just wanted to just say something like that
In celebration of his arrest?
Yeah, I just want to do something to send my appreciation to the Modesto Police Department and the San Diego Police Department. Drinks half price tonight. We're celebrating that this guy has finally been put in handcuffs.
All right. Sunday is Easter Sunday, and you have some things planned over at Ted's of Beverly Hills that you wanted to talk about.
Well, Phil, it is Easter Sunday. We're going to be using that day as an official day of mourning for our troops in Iraq, those troops that died in Iraq. And we are inviting families to come to tents and have our slow-roasted prime rib and a juice sauce. Of course, our julienne carrots and asparagus tips, your choice, the famous tents flour-wrapped potato or rice pilaf. And I think it's a good day, and we're going to invite all the families to our tents in Georgetown, the tents in Walnut Creek, or, of course, the classic tents in Beverly Hills.
Well, I know a lot of the families are planning a celebration with their children, with candy and chocolate, you know, the chocolate eggs and things.
Well, Phil, I wanted to say something that I think needs to be said. And here's where I might differ with you. I think that one day out of the year, and especially this year, America's kids could forego their chocolate eggs and their candy on Easter. And here's why. Their Easter egg hunts and their presents are kind of a self-indulgent thing on a day when we're trying to say a tip of the cap to our troops who died in combat. I think it's demeaning, and I think it's disrespectful.
No. I'm talking about the kids doing the Easter egg hunts?
I think, yes. I think it's demeaning.
You mean like, and even the chocolate eggs, everything?
I think it's demeaning and disrespectful on a day that we are trying to honor our fallen troops in Iraq. And I don't personally want to see my kid, I don't know about anybody else out there, but I don't want to see my kid crawling around on the ground like some greedy American kid hunting for eggs and everything like that while men and women are getting tagged and bagged in Iraq. And I think this needs to be said.
But... I honor all of our men and women, especially the ones who have. We have Memorial Day. That's the day.
Well, Memorial Day is at the end of May. I understand that, but I think while this combat is still fresh in our memories, I think Easter Sunday is a wonderful day to honor the fallen dead. And I don't know what is so hard to understand about one day out of the year, your kid doesn't have to sit there and suck on chocolate eggs. And you know, this needs to be said. We have lost over 100 men and women in a fight for the defense of our country. And now I'm supposed to look at some kid with chocolate that his mother purposely rubs over his face.
What do you mean purposefully?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean purposefully?
Well, I think a lot of these women, as a way of distracting attention away from our young men and women who died in battle, a lot of these upper middle class yuppie mothers who are anti-war, we'll take the chocolate egg, they'll smear it all over the kid's face as if to say, oh, well, everything's okay, no war. And I'm sick of the hypocrisy, Phil.
All right, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, a restaurant steakhouse with three locations around the country, giving us his take on this Easter Sunday. So you're asking for a moratorium on all celebration.
Absolutely. What we are asking people to do is to come down to Ted's, have our prime rib dinner, we'll respectfully raise a glass to our fallen troops, and that's it. No dessert, no chocolate eggs, no kids running around, growing more, pimples or whatever they do with the chocolate. I think it's a sad testament.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. On the Phil Hendry Show, Ted Bell, the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills. Some would say that while the men and the women died in Iraq, children need to be kept separate from these realities, and that children need to be able to still be children. What would you say to that?
I think that's one of the great self-indulgent, yuppie pieces of psychology that I've heard, Phil, over the last 15 years. Children still need to be children. Let me tell you something. Children need to live in the same world that you and I live in. And the children need to comprehend the same reality. And I think someone's kid sucking on chocolate while they are putting a man in a body bag in Iraq, someone's kid sucking on a lollipop or biting into one of those hollow chocolate rabbits, and I think there is nothing more disrespectful than some kid. What my kid used to do is he takes the ears. He chews the ears first. And I will say, what are you doing? My son's name is Paul. I said, what are you doing, Paul? He says, Daddy, I like to eat the ears first. That's fine. We're at war. And while you're at war, you don't show such disrespect that you very absentmindedly nibble on the chocolate ears of a rabbit and the nose. And I think it is disgusting, and I think someone needs to say something about it.
But that's a little boy. Every little kid eats the rabbit that way. They start out with the ears, and they go for the face or whatever.
Well, look, Phil, here's the point that I'm trying to make.
You're letting a child be a child.
That's what I'm saying. You don't let a child be a child. You let a child live in the world that we live in. And when you see some kid on Easter Sunday saying, oh, I want to eat the ears first and the feet, it just... I feel sorry for every man and woman in uniform. And I'll tell you something else. Only children of people who've never been in combat would suck on chocolate eggs and eat the ears and all the other stuff that they do with a rabbit on Sunday. Only the kids of people who've never been in combat. The people.
Are you trying to tell me that people who combat veterans with kids are not going to eat chocolate eggs?
I think they have a little bit more taste than to sit there and celebrate with candy on a day when we're trying to observe the passing of our troops in Iraq.
All right. Ted Ted Bell is with me from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. You, it seems to me, you're designating Sunday as that day.
I think Easter Sunday is a great day.
All right, so you got to get the word out that kids and Easter Sunday is going to be a day that we're going to be observing mourning our troops.
Well, I think Sunday's a good day, but I think every day is a good day to observe the passing of these great, brave men and women who fought for our freedom in Iraq. And, while I'm thinking of the Marines and the Army and the Air and the Naval people who passed on in this war, and then I walk into a supermarket and they've got the big bags of Snickers, have you done your shopping for Easter? And I want to just take those bags and I want to rip them apart and I want to say, this is what happens to an American body in war. This is what happens to a soldier who fights for his country, and I want to open the Milky Way, or whatever you do.
Well, what are you being dramatic inside of a supermarket? I'm just asking you.
It's not drama, Phil.
I'm just asking you, we can observe the passing of our soldiers, but why can't the children have their candy? And you're telling me.
I'm telling you because they're part of the same world.
I understand that. But the dramatic display in a supermarket.
Well, it's what I want to do. I've never done it, but it's what I want to do. And let me tell you something, Phil. My son, Paul, I said to him the other day, I said, Paul, remember when you bit the face off of the chocolate rabbit, the hollow rabbit? And he said, yes, Daddy, I do. I said, that's what a man's face looks like after he's gotten a hand grenade tossed at it. Now, keep that in mind. And every time my son at Easter bites the ears or the face or the feet, I say, take a good long look, because that's what you're going to look like after you get into a uniform for the United States Army and you go into combat and you stay as dumb as you are today, you're going to look like that. If you get smarter, you'll look better. But if you stay as stupid as you are today, son, and you get into a uniform of the U.S. military, you're going to look like that rabbit with a face chewed off.
All right, Ted Bell with us, 1-800-449-8686. Sunday is a day that he and some others want to designate as an official day of mourning for our lost men and women in the Iraq War. And as such, no candy, no chocolate rabbits, no eggs, no nothing on Sunday. He would like people to come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills and have the dinner there, or I guess have your dinner at home. 1-800-449-8686. Are Easter eggs and chocolate candies, is it too much this year? Or should we be thinking about the men and women who died in Iraq? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
That'll be right there.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
We're inviting everybody down for Easter dinner at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Prime red, Julian carrots and asparagus tips. Your choice of the famous Ted's boiled red potato or rice pilaf and a classic Ted.
Ted to Beverly Hills, sponsoring this part of the Phil Hendry Show. Ted Bell is with us, and you are inviting people down to celebrate Easter at your restaurant without chocolate eggs and without candy.
That is correct, Phil.
Because it disrespects the soldiers.
What we're asking are for people to come to Ted's this Sunday for dinner and do something for our fallen soldiers, as opposed to sitting there and watching your child get sugar fixated put on extra weight, become another statistic in this America's battle against obese teenagers, and generally just self-indulge that child to the point where he becomes narcissistic, where he becomes self-consumed and goes into the world fat and selfish. And I think there's nothing worse than to get our kids off of the wrong foot.
So it is about our kids.
It's about our kids and our fallen troops, yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Amanda. Go ahead, Amanda.
Yes, I am a military wife, and I really find it offensive that you are saying all these things about... You just cannot talk to your child that way.
Amanda, I want to honor our fallen troops in Iraq.
That's fine. I have no problem. I have no problem with that. I feel the same way. They are doing a wonderful job. I mean, I support our troops completely. But the
way what's not to like about my restaurant?
Excuse me?
What's not to like about what I'm saying then? You agree with me.
About the troops, but not about what you told your child or what you're teaching them or about eating an Easter bunny's face off. That just doesn't make any sense.
What specifically? Yes, ma'am.
What do you mean, what specifically?
What specifically am I saying that's so wrong to the children?
You're teaching them deranged things, like saying that eating the face off of a bunny is what a troop is going to look like after they've had a grenade thrown at them. I mean,
well, you know it's true, and I think it's a great way to teach a child that eating a chocolate bunny isn't everything that, you know, it's fun and that, but it can also be something that is frightening.
Yeah, but
why would you do that with a kid? It's frightening to eat a chocolate bunny.
I want to remind these kids
exactly.
What made this country? Men and women who got their ears blown off the same way the rabbit will when he chews them. Well, you may think it's funny, ma'am. I don't think injured soldiers are funny.
I'm not laughing. I just cannot believe what I am hearing.
So a child is enjoying a chocolate rabbit on Easter Sunday, and when he bites off an ear, you got to remind him about war wounds.
Yeah, Phil. You want to know why? Because a little something just happened. Maybe you read about it in the paper called The War in Iraq. See, I don't know about you and Amanda, but I read the newspaper. I stay up on the news, and they had a war over there.
No one is saying that there's not a war going on. No one is saying that horrible things don't happen around us all the time. I am just saying that you cannot tell children these horror stories.
Yeah,
they're going to learn life lessons on their own, and it is their choice to sign up for the military and defend our country so people like you can say things like
Amanda, right now, in Iraq, an Iraqi child is staying alive by eating a cockroach. And yet they'll turn on their television tonight and see American kids with a 5-pound chocolate rabbit hanging out of their mouth. I think it's terrible. And I'm willing to do something about it. You see, I'm Ted Bell.
Oh, what are you going to do? Take away all the chocolate bunnies over the earth?
I don't know where you are, but I'm Ted Bell. I don't do things the way other people do it. I'm Ted Bell. I'm starting this Sunday to honor our troops.
Yeah, honor the troops by inviting everybody to your restaurant, have your prime rib. This is one big commercial for your restaurant, isn't it?
Phil, I think that you and I have known each other long enough that you don't have to sink that low.
Wait a minute, sink that low. Isn't this one big commercial for your restaurant?
You are sinking low, accusing me of crass commercialism, and what I'm trying to do is honor the lives and the great bravery of our soldiers. And I'm at least doing something to restore a good image of Americans overseas who right now all they see are pictures of our fat little kids, round, fat, pink American kids, sucking down chocolate while their children are chewing on sand.
All right, Amanda, I gotta run. I thank you for your call. What happened to her? I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Ileana, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I think opposite than he does. I don't think the war has anything to do with Easter. And the kids should enjoy Easter. And I am grateful for the troops in Iraq that are doing this for us. And I appreciate it with my heart, and I pray for them every day. But he doesn't have any right to not let those kids enjoy Easter.
Well, is Ileana,
he religious by any chance?
Ileana,
I don't think so.
I
don't think he's religious at all.
Ileana, this is Ted Bell. First of all, I don't think it's right for an American child to be licking Easter chocolate eggs while an Iraqi child has to eat a camel, you know, some roadkill.
Oh, please, give me a break. What does the Easter Bunny have to be with a, do with a war?
I'll tell you what.
You cannot compare a war with an Easter Bunny. That's chocolate.
Is that right? Well, let me tell you
something. Give me a break.
Eliana, you walk out into the middle of a firefight dressed in a rabbit suit. What do you think is going to happen to you? Hello? Hello? See, she can't answer the question.
Well, I think we lost her car phone.
No, she doesn't have any courage. See, Phil, people talk about how the Easter rabbit, the Easter bunny, this. You try walking out into the middle of a combat zone into a hot LZ wearing a rabbit costume. What do you think you're going to look like in about 5 minutes?
Ted, I don't understand it.
What are you going to look like if you wander out into a firefight dressed as the Easter Bunny?
I guess I'll get shot.
That's right. They don't care, Phil. They'll kill you, and man, they'll put so much lead in you that when they throw you overboard, you'll sink right to the bottom of the lake. Now, I'm Ted Bell, and I like to think that I think originally, and we're doing this for our troops.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jason. Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, hey, Phil, how you doing, buddy?
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're talking about Easter Sunday being a day of remembrance for our fallen troops and a day that you want people to come to your restaurant, eat your prime rib, eat your foil-wrapped potato.
Again, you're accusing me of crass commercialism, Phil, and I don't like it.
Well, I'm telling you, you know, it sounds to me like...
Forget what it sounds like. I want to give people a place to go on Easter Sunday so that they can do something other than watch their little kids eat their eggs, eat the chocolate bunny, and all of the things. God.
What are you doing?
I'm angry. I'm very angry.
Are you going to be angry after you look at the till at the end of Sunday night?
Phil, again, I want people to come here to Tennessee Beverly Hills. Raise a glass. Have yourself a cocktail. We also have the Virgin Ted, which is a Coke and ice, and we top it off with a straw.
1-800-449-8686, the number here on The Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, how many more of these commercials?
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on.
Hi, everybody. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills Sunday. Do something for the fallen men and women of our military. Come to Ted's and have a respectful dinner, not sit and look at your kids suck an egg.
Here at Ted's, we want to eat in your.
All right, take it easy.
No, it does. It angers me.
All right, Ted Bell with us, 1-800-449-8686.
Here's the thing, Bill, that I think is you asked the question on your program the other day, why does America hate us? You remember when you asked that?
Yeah.
Okay, the reason why America hates our living guts, or why the world hates America, I should say, is because we got 200-pound 10-year-olds shoving chocolate-malted balls into their mouth, shoving Snickers and Milky Ways into their mouths, shoving Mounds bars, Almond Joys. We have Halloween, we have Easter, we have Christmas candy. They have children that can barely walk, barely live, and the American child, now tipping the scales at the age of 10, tipping it at 190, with the heel of their hand, pushing a custard-filled eclair deep down their throat. I find that disgusting. And as a American citizen, I want to honor our troops, not look at a kid eat again. I can look at my own son eat every night.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're right. We have a lot, and we abuse it. You're right. I still don't know why we take away Easter candy from kids. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Marilyn on the Phil Hendry Show. Marilyn, go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes.
I'm really concerned about this guy, Ted, from Beverly Hills, promoting his restaurant by dedicating Sunday as a day for the troops.
Absolutely. I
think he's making a mistake. I think it's very commendable what you're doing, but I think you're confusing something. You're very welcome. That is a religious holiday. Okay, and that's the day that all families get together, they sit around the table, they have a wonderful meal, they usually pray, and in our thoughts, definitely the troops are going to be in our thoughts.
Nothing against that.
Wonderful, wonderful, we're on the same page.
Right.
But when you talk about children and stuffing their faces, I think you're making a generalization that's incorrect.
You have children all over this country that will be shoveling molded milk balls into their faces while kids in Iraq don't even have a donut.
Sir, and that happens not only in Iraq, but that happens in other countries as well.
Absolutely.
It happens in all countries that are impoverished. Now, what do? We punish the children in this country because of it? No,
I think it's
not.
A little disrespectful
The reason we are in this country, okay, is because we have a wonderful ability to be able to do and say what we please, and we're able to work hard and get ahead in life.
I think it's wrong for a big fat kid to sit down with a big fat cream-filled bunny when our soldiers are being tagged and bagged. That's all I'm saying.
I think to a certain extent, I understand what you're trying to say, but I think you're using the children here as a means by which to get your thoughts across, and it's totally wrong.
Well, I'm not accusing your child or my child. I'm just saying all the kids together, including my kid. Because let me tell you something. The only reason why my kid ever opens his mouth is so someone will toss a ham sandwich into it.
Well, not all children are like that, but this is the thing. Children between the ages of probably 3 and 8 are the ones that go Easter egg hunting, okay? Children have innocence, sir.
Right.
You
and
were
you know
born
how much
an
they
adult.
Weigh?
You had innocence at one point.
You know how much they
and
weigh?
And your mind doesn't need to be, brought into a war situation every day. I think we as adults can deal with it, but I don't think children can.
Do you know how much the average 4-year-old weighs now? They're pushing 100
sure,
pounds.
I understand. They have an obesity problem.
100 to 150 pounds.
150?
That doesn't have to deal with candy on Easter, on Christmas, candy on Halloween,
right.
Sir. That is the lifestyle that the parents allow the children to have.
All right, Marilyn, thank you. I got to run. I thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Josh. Go ahead, Josh. You're on with Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills Restaurant.
Yes, my name's Josh, and I just got back from serving in Afghanistan, the United States Marine Corps. My brother just currently got back from Baghdad.
God bless you. God bless everything that you guys do for us.
Yeah, and then here I turn on the radio, I've been listening to everyone support us, and then you come up and tell us how to support our troops over there is to come and spend money at your restaurant. Why don't you, to support your troops, have you thought of giving the families of the soldiers over there discounts, free, anything, or is it just all about money in your pocket?
When you're talking about the troops coming into my restaurant getting discounts?
I'm just talking about,
restaurant. If you're going to spend money on chocolate bunnies or whatever they do, don't spend it on bunny rabbits because that dishonors what you did, Josh. Every time a child eats a chocolate rabbit, he's spitting into your face. I'm saying...
No, every time a child eats a chocolate rabbit, he's exercising a right that I gave him serving for my country over there.
You think?
To eat whatever he wants.
You think, but we've got 500 and 600-pound 10-year-olds now.
I have a question for you. Have you ever actually been over to another country and seen what them children look like? Have you been to Kenya and seen what them children look like?
Well, they're black in Kenya, aren't they? Are they not?
Yes, they are.
All right. I can just go down here to South Central and...
Oh, come on. He's talking about a Kenyan child.
Yeah, I'm talking about... You're sitting here criticizing... You know, our children, yes, our children have it great, but it's because of our soldiers fighting over there, giving them that right. I've been over there. I have fed the children over in 14 other countries.
Right, and you're not passing out chocolate bunny rabbits, are you? No, you're not.
You know what? I passed out every bit of food I had over there.
How does that little Iraqi child feel when one American chocolate bunny weighs more than they do? Yay! Never thought of that, did you?
Come on, man.
The same family that can't afford a chocolate bunny can't afford to come and have a prime rib and a potato at your restaurant.
Look, we have slow-roasted prime rib all day long. We've got your choice, the foil-wrapped potato.
I don't care what you've got all day long. Don't sell me that. I'm just saying, don't try to exploit our troops by sitting there telling them that the only way you can support them is to come and eat at your restaurant.
Young man,
the way you can support them is to sit there and praise them with your family.
Young man, I'd like you to come down to the restaurant, and the drinks are on me. As long as you let me take some pictures of myself with you.
I appreciate it, but you know what? I fought for my country, and I don't need to come down there and get a pity off you because I made you look like a butt on a radio.
Look, all I'm trying to do is get some photographs of you and I together so people will, you know.
So I can be exploited along with every other troop that you've mentioned on the radio tonight.
What are you talking about, exploited?
Oh, you know what he's talking about. You want to get a picture of you with a Marine, and you can hang it up in your freaking bar with, Ted supports the troops.
Yeah.
So that's what you guys think of me, huh?
That's exactly what I think.
You know something? Go ahead, Josh. Let the kids eat their chocolate bunny rabbits. Let the kids suck down another milk chocolate ball, and you'll see a whole lot of Marines spinning in their graves.
Spinning in their graves.
All
right, Josh.
The day I see you go up and join the Marine Corps is the day I will see that.
Excuse me, I didn't mean that.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. The Phil Henry Show is back.
That was me performing the voice of Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And the people calling in believe they were speaking with a real guy named Ted Bell. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up, we'll have a taste of an interview we did with Bob Green Grocer about how Ed Smart shouldn't claim his daughter Elizabeth Smart on his income taxes as a dependent since she wasn't home for 7 months. Anyway, our website is philhenryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com. This is the place to go to learn about the Phil Henry Show, to find out what this thing is all about. You can visit our archive section, our audio archives, 30-day archives, the short-form, long-form bits, and our live streaming. That's all, that's what our show is about in terms of audio. It's all there. We also have some video archives of the webcasts that we've done. We've done two the week before Christmas, and those are archived there. And as well, we have a souvenir shop, and you can go and pick up some stuff for the family. Father's Day coming up, Easter, whatever. I guess it's too late for Easter, but you can find the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. If you dug Ted and you like the particular brand of unacceptable insanity that he pukes out onto the air, get your Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Also, our official Phil Henry Show T-shirt, which we've had a big demand for. You know, I don't want a Ted. I don't want a this, and I don't want a that. Just give me a Phil Henry shirt. We got that. We also have our Bobby Dooley Western Estates Homeowners Association polo shirt, class all the way, Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug, the black and white coffee or latte mug, it's all there. Just go to philhenryshow.com, and for the audio, you need a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. You can save money by buying yourself a backstage pass for the year. Plus, we have our wall of female listeners, where every now and again, a woman stumbles across our wall of female listeners and says, I listen to Phil, and I'll send my picture, and then we stick it up there. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. On our show the other day was Bob Green. He's a manager of a grocery store who felt he had a really great idea that Ed Smart should be red flagged. His income taxes should be red flagged in case he claimed his daughter Elizabeth as a dependent. And in fact, the guy who ought to get the income tax break is Brian David Mitchell, who kidnapped her. Now, here is Bob arguing with a listener who, like me, can't believe how stupid he is.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You think that Mr. Spartan, you think it's even crossed his mind about his taxes? I mean, first of all,
wouldn't you?
I'm sure the gentleman's got enough money where I'm sure somebody does his taxes, first of all. And
well, but wouldn't you think about it?
What kind of jackass sits here and talks about some guy and claiming a girl being gone for 7 months, and you're actually going to sit here and... you know, I'm beside myself about what
sir, hold on. It costs about $1,000 a month to raise the average American child. That's $7,000 this guy. What, he gets to walk? You just said he's rich.
Do you think he gives a shit? Oh, I'm sorry. You think he cares? He probably would have paid $3,000 a month to have his daughter back.
Then why not audit his taxes and make sure he's not trying to pull one? You have to understand,
sir. Do you
sir,
think he's trying to pull anything? The guy just got his kid back.
Exactly.
If you're a dad,
exactly. That's what we're
he
talking
just got
about.
His kid back.
The man lost his daughter. He just got her back. Do you think the first thing he's thinking about is how he can go ahead and squeeze the government for 7 G's?
Why don't we all ask ourselves that question? Wouldn't you, Mr. Henry? Wouldn't this gentleman?
Don't you have anything better to do? Go hug your kids and play some ball.
I love
my
kids. Hey, let me tell you something.
Calculator out of your
BI. Let me tell you something, pal. My kid wasn't kidnapped, okay?
Exactly.
I take care of my kids.
You're a man who was?
I take care of my kids.
Hey.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Exactly.
No kid gets kidnapped from me.
What's that supposed to mean, Mr. Smart?
He's climbing his window at night, you jackass. Are you kidding me?
Hey, what's wrong with flagging the guy's file and taking a look at it? That's all
I'm
saying.
What's wrong with
you
worrying about his taxes? Pay yours and go on.
Hey, I work for a living.
Leave the poor guy alone.
I work for a living, okay? Some other guy gets
$7,000. You don't think he does?
He gets the $7,000 break and I don't.
You don't know that he's getting a break. You don't know that he's getting a break.
Hey, what are you making?
You're a character,
you know,
man.
Something,
I'll tell you what. Maybe you need to find religion.
You know, sir, you must be the kind of guy that can afford to lose 7 G's a year. I'm not. If you think it's
no,
funny.
No, I'm the kind of guy who would gladly give that man some money so he could have had his daughter for 7 months. If my son got took for 7 days, I'd give 10 years worth of income to have him back. Do you think he was worried about $7,000 worth of taxes? You need to just, oh, my God.
Hey.
I'm not saying that he didn't.
I'm not saying that he did. I'm just saying, why can't we check the record? Look, the law is the law.
What kind of brain you have that made you even come up with this asinine thought?
The law is the law.
The law is the law.
You got audited 3 years out of five. That's your problem.
Let me tell you something. I started a business out of my home.
Okay, well, that's the problem, starting a business out of your home.
What's wrong with that?
The first thing they're going to do is audit you when you use your house as a write-off as an office.
Exactly.
Oh, come on.
Look, man, I learned that a long time ago. You don't claim your house as your office.
I was selling cosmetics. My wife and I were...
You were selling cosmetics. What was it, Amway or something?
You know, you need to get those panties off because of restricting your Jimmy. That's your problem. You're way too uptight.
My Jimmy? Jesus.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There's Bob. And that's him talking with some cat about that whole, like, guys, Elizabeth Smart, whatever your income taxes. I don't pay my taxes on the 15th. I'm always getting extensions. You know, I don't even know what's going on with my taxes. I got an accountant and I have a wife, and that's the last I ever see of any money that I make, a wife and an accountant. And, you know, sometimes in the darkest, blackest moments, I think, boy, she could steal me blind. You know, when you talk about trusting your wife or your husband, man, you ain't kidding. You're really trusting them, because she could rob me blind, be out of town within moments, and I wouldn't know the difference. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's the latest. The Hall of Fame has apologized, saying the president of the Hall of Fame has apologized to Tim Robbins, saying he was sorry he failed to call Mr. Robbins and Susan Sarandon last week before canceling a Bull Durham celebration because of the actor's anti-war stance. Instead, he sent a letter. In an open letter to the 28,000 people who called or sent a letter or email to the Hall, Dale Petrosky blamed himself for bringing politics into the shrine. I inadvertently did exactly what I was trying to avoid. With the advantage of hindsight, it's clear I should have handled the matter differently. I'm sorry I didn't pick up the phone to have a discussion with Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon. They were scheduled to be at Cooperstown to commemorate the 15th anniversary of the popular baseball movie Bull Durham. Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins are exactly what people can't stand about celebrities. It is that they have an unfair advantage when it comes to expressing opinion, and most of the time, it's at odds with what most Americans, according to the polls, believe. Now, that's just a fact. I'm not saying they're wrong to think what they're thinking, but the knee-jerk reaction of people who are in entertainment is generally one against government policy vis-a-vis military action. And generally, the American people will give a president, once we've committed to a military path, they'll give him a few, they'll give him a few days, a few weeks, a few months. And what's happened is, increasingly, we find people who do movies for a living, speaking out publicly about things that are very technical, as is their right. But nobody else has that right. We find people saying really stupid things, who are film actors and television actors, and the average guy who disagrees with that, he doesn't have a platform. Well, what about you, Henry? You sound pretty stupid to me. Well, I may be, but at least I'm here doing that particular job. That's what I was hired to do, to get on the air and give opinions, as dumb as they may sound. That's my line of work. A movie actor, he acts in a movie. A television actor, he acts in the TV. Gets inside the TV and does whatever the hell he does. Standing out there like Martin Sheen, Tim Robbins, and Susan Sarandon only exemplifies what it is that everybody cannot stand about the modern celebrity, and that is their idea of themselves as being some kind of Joe working class spokesman for the salt of the earth, when in point of fact they're going to crawl back into their limo and go and do whatever they do. Go suck some sushi. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Prom time is coming up for the high school kids. Bobby Dooley is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and she is going to be, they'll be using the Western Estates Community Center, right, Ms. Dooley, for some of the prom festivities?
That is correct, Phil, yeah.
And I know that you wanted to talk a little bit because your son Dylan, who died back on March 3rd in an automobile accident, this would be his first prom.
That's correct, Phil. He did go to his winter formal, his sophomore year this year, and it just hurts me. The last time we saw him in formal wear was at the winter formal, and we won't see him in the prom.
What did you want to talk about in terms of Dylan and what other parents should remember?
Well, Phil, I just think that you have to value every time you see your young man getting into his formal wear. You don't want him to go out with just any girl. When Dylan went to the winter formal, he was forced to be with this girl. Her mother works, I guess. I don't know the family. I guess the father isn't there anymore. So he was with this girl, and she was dressed, I think, very inappropriately. She embarrassed my son. She came off as a little too confident. She wasn't what we like to call back in when I was in school, ladylike. And I still remember his face as he came home that night, and we stayed up with him. He was so disappointed. So I think, number one, when your son is going out to his prom or his winter formal, really make sure that the young lady he's going with is worthy of him and that she really measures up to what he can be or to what he is.
Well, all right, when you say this girl, was her dress inappropriate?
What she was wearing a very traditional A-line skirt. It looked like it was made out of some kind of cheap satin. It looked really bland. The fabric didn't have any shine. The shoes she was wearing were obviously vinyl and not leather. The entire ensemble, and then she had her hair done. Obviously the mother did it. And again, this is a woman who works, I guess, and is running all over the place. The father isn't there. And I don't know if he ran off or what. But the hair of this young girl, it didn't have the salon touch. But all of that would have been fine. I could have dealt with all of that if it weren't for the fact, and here is where breeding and upbringing...
Can I interrupt for a minute?
Yeah.
It sounds to me like you had a working mother who has a daughter, and this is her prom, and I don't know anything about clothes. You say she was wearing an A-line skirt with a kind of a cheap satin...
Oh, believe me, Phil, and any woman listening will know. It is absolutely... It's just... shabby, and you might as well just haul the skirt out of an old trunk.
All right, but doesn't this bespeak perhaps an income level?
No, what it bespeaks, Phil, is class and breeding. And I was going to say, this is a girl who didn't show up with a boutonniere, which is what you're supposed to bring for your date. Her mother was, there, and I said, well, where is Dylan's boutonniere? I bought the wrist corsage. Where is my son's boutonniere, who I lost in March? Where is his boutonniere? And this woman says, oh, my God, I forgot. So my son had to go to his final winter formal with a girl in this plain A-line dress, no boutonniere. He was bored to death. No goodnight kiss.
Well, it sounds like a girl who may be conservative. I mean, maybe her mother teaches her that because she's a single mother, you know, the girl should be conservative. I don't know about the boutonniere. It sounded like perhaps the woman was in a hurry.
So I want to ask you something. I know it is a temptation on the part of people who do what you do to always see the other side, but I always hear you go against the people who are your guests, and I would like you to open your eyes to the possibility that I might be right. And
I am just trying, as you say, to see the other side.
Well, then see this side, Phil. On March the 3rd, my son Dylan lost his life. My son died a virgin. Some parents think that that's great, that their child is a virgin. Well, try losing your child to a head-on collision. Try losing your firstborn to a bloody, twisted metal disaster. And then tell me you didn't wish he had intimate relations with his prom date before that. And I'll never forget Steve saying to me, my God, I wish I'd taken him to Mexico. I wish that I had taken him to Bangkok. And that's how we feel about it.
But that isn't the girl's fault, okay? I mean, that's not the girl's fault.
Well, we all know that young men, not the girl's fault.
And it's not the girl's fault that your son died a virgin unless you're expecting that girl to have sex with him.
I think it is important for young women to sense that possibly this could be the last time a young man has a formal to go to.
What do you think, they're psychic?
No, but I think that women know the influence they have on boys and what they can do and how they can direct their lives.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. That's very interesting. I don't even know what it is that she's saying, though, here. I mean, what are you asking here?
I'm saying to every mother and to every father, if you're going to send your daughter out on prom night, if you're going to send them out to be with a young man, make it special. Make it very special. Don't have your daughter show up in plain vinyl clothing, in the plain-looking kinds of clothes, in the stupid-looking vinyl shoes, that kind of thing.
Dress your daughter better?
Dress your daughter better. My boy Dylan died on March 3rd, and the last formal he went to was some girl who looked like she got her clothes at Mervyn's.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking here with Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Are you having a formal night at your community center?
I don't know, Phil. I really don't.
Because I heard that there's the prom kids are meeting.
I don't know, Phil. This is some other mother. She has a child, I guess, that's having a prom. I don't have a child that's having a prom. My boy died March 3rd, so I don't really care. They can have their prom. They don't have to have it. I'm really not interested.
Well, as the Homeowners Association president, I thought you had...
Would you stop torturing me, please? Because
I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't mean to torture you, but I thought you had interest in what goes on at the community center.
My son Dylan died on March the 3rd.
I know that. I.
You know that? And the last formal he went to was with some girl dressed like it was Little House on the Prairie, like she was going on a covered wagon or something. Mother lives alone, no father. My son had to endure that. And you'd think, Phil, that at the end of the night, after all of that, that she just might loosen up a little bit.
I don't know what you mean by loosen up, but if I'm the father of that girl...
Oh, why'd she loosen up, Mr. Henry?
My husband, Steve, just loosen it up. and let the young man have what he seeks.
All right. I say this out of respect for you, Ms. Dooley, because you did lose your son. I think that you're wrong. 1-800-44...
Well, that may be, but I think you're wrong.
Fine. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley about their son, Dylan, and his last formal was with a girl who wasn't dressed good, I guess. So the next time your daughter goes out with some young man for a formal dance, dress her better. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm on with Bobby Dooley. She is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. They are having a prom night at their Homeowners Association Community Center. Proms are coming up. And we are talking with her about what young women should wear when they go out with their young men. Now, Ms. Dooley lost her son to an automobile accident on March the 3rd, her eldest son, Dylan, and feels that his last formal dance that he ever went to in his life was a winter formal in January, and the girl was dressed in a very plain way, and she was not friendly, she was not very sexy, and your son came home disappointed.
That is correct, yeah. And so, if when I talk about a girl not being dressed properly, I mean, let's listen to what we're talking about here. A, an A-line dress. B, her hair done by her mother. C, vinyl shoes, not leather. D, no boutonniere. And finally, E, rather unsexy and probably on her way to some kind of clinical frigidity. As a result, my boy is dead.
Now, that's where I lose you. How did your son die as the result of this young girl?
Because, Phil, if she had better sense about the situation, she would have been, I think, friendlier and, yes, intimate. And he might not have gone out and gotten that bottle of wine that night and drove fast.
And did your son... I didn't know this. Your son had been drinking wine?
My son had gone out and gotten a bottle of Red Mountain wine. It was a gallon jug, and they were drinking from it. But that's because the girl didn't get sexual with him. If she had, he never would have gone out and gotten fortified wine.
And he had a head-on collision driving your Lexus SUV, right?
Well, it doesn't matter what he was driving.
Well, that's what you said. All right, I'm going to go to some phone calls here. 1-800-449-8686. Susan, you're on with Bobby Dooley and Phil Henry. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
My point is that I am hearing a woman who is in a great deal of pain, which I can only partly understand because I haven't experienced that.
Thank you.
But I also think that you're not very rational. That young woman's virginity, the way she was dressed, how that night may have turned out to your son, has nothing in the world to do with him being in an accident and driving his car.
She owes him nothing. Clinically frigid.
That's too bad. It has nothing to do with her.
But if someone had gotten to her before that, taken her to counseling.
She owes no one.
My son would be alive today.
She owes no one her virginity, and certainly not your son. He had things to look forward to.
You haven't had a son die. I have.
I've had a sister die.
I know more about it than you do.
You don't.
And if she had put out a little bit, then he wouldn't have gotten that jug of wine.
You don't know
and
that.
And driven over all those front yards. We've had to pay for about 7 or 8 landscaping jobs.
Well, you should be paying for that.
My son died.
Nobody owes your son anything. It's horrible that he died.
Yes.
Absolutely horrible.
Thank you for finally acknowledging it.
Wait a minute. I think the lady acknowledged it right at the beginning of her phone call.
Well, I didn't hear.
That's the first thing I said. I just can't even imagine how horrible that would be.
Mr. Henry's covering for you. That's all right.
I'm not covering for her.
Oh,
she said the first...
No, that's what I said. Anyway,
yeah, sure.
No woman owes her virginity to anyone.
Unless
ever.
He's a man that's about to die.
But how did she know that? She doesn't know he's going to die.
Teenagers have a wonderful sense.
Oh.
Why do you think teenagers are depressed all the time? They sense death. They can sense death better than us.
Wait a minute, man. Now we're getting off into outer space. This is like Art Bell. How do you know teenagers sense death? The fact that they're depressed and moody doesn't mean that they have, some extrasensory perception.
Look, Phil, if that ice cube in a prom dress would have at least used her hand or something.
Ma'am, are you listening to yourself?
Yeah, are you?
What?
What?
You've got some wires crossed.
Are you calling me crazy?
I think that you are...
You think I'm cracked? You think I'm cracked? Do you?
I think your grief is overcoming you.
I think that's a very good point. Thank you, Susan, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Maggie, go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Ma'am?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'd like to say that I am so sorry for your loss. And I know that I don't know what it's like because I've never lost a child.
Well, I know you don't really mean that.
But I do have, I have four grown children. I have several grandchildren.
But you're just saying that.
Excuse me?
You're just saying that. I know you don't
know. Well, ma'am, only the good Lord knows if your son would have lived or died.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yes.
And also, ma'am, I have never, I've never heard such snobbery in all my life.
Snobbery?
Never. The poor girl, did your son ask her to the prom?
Well, yes, he did, because she was friendlier.
It seems to me like your son had better judgment than you do, and I'm sure the Lord is glad to have him in heaven with him so he can protect him from people like you.
Well, wait a minute. Why would
For your loss, to argue with you.
You talk about God. Why would he take a boy before he got his ashes hauled? That's what I'm talking about.
What do you mean, before he got his ashes hauled?
I'm shocked.
No, I'm shocked, too, that a mother, a woman who claims to be a mother, wouldn't understand. The word was out all over campus. This girl was ready to go.
How do you know so much about this girl? Did your son tell you?
Believe me, I know everything about the social lives of my children. I make it my business.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
well, I'm not
going
to argue with
mother.
You, ma'am, but I will pray for you and... I'm sorry for your loss.
I think it's a little late for prayer.
It's never too late, ma'am.
He's dead. Hello.
Yes,
unless you raise the dead, Maggie.
Don't you want to see him one day?
Unless you raise the dead.
Don't you want to see him one day?
I'm sorry?
Don't you ever want to see him again?
Maybe you didn't hear me. He's dead.
I understand that, ma'am. And you're spiritually dead. But I feel sorry for you.
Oh, you're talking about in heaven.
Goodbye, ma'am. Thank you for your...
Did you understand what she was
saying? She's talking about in the afterlife. 1-800-449-8686. Sounded like I was talking into a garbage can there. This is the Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Bobby Dooley, and her husband Steve Dooley is there, about their son Dylan, who died in an automobile accident in March. His last prom, or last winter formal, his last formal was a winter dance in January. The girl that he took was apparently she wasn't properly dressed. She wasn't very friendly. She didn't put out. And Bobby now has a son who died a virgin. I want to find out from you, Ms. Dooley, what's so bad about that?
Well, first of all, Phil, the body decomposes quicker if you've never had sex because...
I don't want to talk about that.
Well, you asked me...
I don't want to talk about that. I just wondered why it was so important that the boy not be a virgin when he dies. Here's Kim. Go ahead, Kim. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
And your name is Mrs. Dooley?
Yes, Bobby Dooley.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Dooley.
Hi.
I want to tell you I'm sorry about your son.
Well, a lot of people like to say that, but I don't know if they're...
Why don't you just take it as a nice thing to say, yeah.
Have you gone... He died this March 3rd.
March 3rd,
any counseling?
You know, Steve and I are not like that. We're very strong people. I understand people that need it, and I encourage all of my friends to go to that, but we don't need it.
Okay. You know what? I'm a professional in the healthcare field, and I beg to differ. You sound to me like you need some counseling. I know that there's a lot of blame involved when somebody dies, you know, young, and somebody dies in a tragic way. And
you know what? I'm sorry. I lost the phone connection. Could you repeat all of that? I didn't hear it.
Oh, I'm a professional in the healthcare field.
Are you a nurse? Are you a nurse?
I am a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And I work in an emergency room, and I do see. I work in a violent part of town.
Are you like a candy striper or what?
No, I'm a registered nurse.
Oh, okay.
She's an RN.
I work in a part of town where we get a lot of young people that are brought in and die in our emergency room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would strongly recommend that you go to counseling. There's a lot of misguided anger here. And you mentioned you have other kids. How old are your other kids?
I have Seth and Justin, and they are 13 and 11.
Yeah, I would say for their sake, you should maybe go to counseling.
You're not a psychiatrist, though.
My husband says you're not a psychiatrist, though.
You guys have skipped the groove. I was trying to be as nice and as blunt as I could. But
she's not a psychiatrist. How'd you say that?
My husband wants to know how you can say that when you're not a psychiatrist.
I'm a 33-year-old human being, and everything I've heard you say, you sound like lunatic.
My husband is asking, do you want to be Sigmund Freud or something?
The lady is being nice. The lady is...
Sounds like she wants to be Sigmund Freud.
My husband says you want to be...
We heard what he said. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm with Bobby Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley, along with her husband Steve, are on talking about prom night and prom behavior, I guess. Your son, Dylan, I know, died early in March, and his last formal dance was a winter formal, and the girl that he took to the dance, you say, was very inconsiderate. She didn't wear good clothes. And the big thing you're saying here is that she didn't provide him with sex.
Well, Phil, I think for you people, look, Dylan would have been happy to have had an intimate romantic encounter with this girl. He was well aware that this could have been his last date, and he was well aware that this could have been her last date. But she wasn't aware that it could have been his last date, and he died a virgin. And I'm sorry, Phil, when you talk about God, but if there is a God, he might have... Ask that girl to pry her ankles apart. And
okay, I can't continue this discussion of that kind of thing. Do you understand?
Oh, I see. So in other words, only, you know, you get to talk to people about being a prude.
Well, what? Come on!
I would think any young girl going out with my son would have prayed to God for the strength to push one ankle away from the other. And
I don't want to go into this, and I'm going to take some phone calls.
Not okay.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Kinshasa, hello?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine.
You're on the air, ma'am.
Okay. I just wanted to say that you mm-hmm. cannot blame the woman and you cannot blame God or anyone
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
And I do apologize about your son not being here, mm-hmm. but you know what? God may have took your son to mm-hmm. save him from you. And if you don't slow down, God may end up taking your other two sons away from you. It's because of your mm-hmm. belligerent attitude that God
belligerent.
May have allowed this to happen.
What's
and if
belligerent
you don't straighten
about?
Up, you may lose the rest of your children.
Well, what are you talking about? You don't
you
know
heard
that.
What I'm talking about.
That's, no.
I'm talking about the situation at hand. How can you blame that girl for not giving your son some sex, and that's
look,
why he died. Do you hear yourself? I mean, do you think, I mean, when you think, do you
why
think
else?
All of you, do you think within your head?
Wait a minute. Why else would a boy cop a bottle of red eye, drink
because your son wanted to get drunk that night. It was prom night, and that's prom for teenagers. They drink. You cannot blame that girl for not separating her legs, and that's why your son died. If I'm telling you now, and I'm warning you on
mm-hmm.
national radio,
mm-hmm.
you better slow down, because you know what? God
mm-hmm.
may hold you accountable and take the rest of your children away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Well, I don't understand what she's talking about.
She's
no, you
saying...
understand fully what I'm talking
she's...
about.
No, I don't. I don't. I first of all, she shows up in an A-line dress. Her mother did her hair.
I don't care however she's dressed. It doesn't matter how she's dressed. She
final
said no.
Shoes.
That's the primary point. She said no. And like the lady said before me, you need help. You need beyond help. You need psychological, mental, and probably physical, too, help. You need help.
Physical?
Seriously?
So you think that I'm out of shape?
No, I don't know what you are. You sound like a depressed woman, and true enough, you should be because your son died.
You know,
you need to get over it. You got two other children to raise.
Kinshasa,
you need to come out of that slump.
You
got your husband back there, too.
You can bounce a quarter off my wife's rear end.
My husband said that I'm
what
in great...
What point does that have to... Now, you see how stupid that was? We're talking about your son dying, and you wanted to...
No, you said I need... You
that
said...
goes short that you people need help.
No, you said I needed
help.
Physical help.
I mean, why else would you be on national radio saying something stupid and as idiotic as you are?
I loved my son very much.
And if you love your son, then you would stop this madness and stop blaming that girl for not giving up her virginity. If you love your son at all, you would stop that.
Because that
makes him look bad as a person. What does that say about you? What does that say about you all as parents?
If she'd given it up, then he wouldn't have had to get drunk.
That's
and
right.
You know what? I believe fully you're his son. I mean, I believe fully you're his father. I don't doubt for 1 minute that you're his father.
I'm trying to help other parents raise nice girls.
How can you help somebody else and you can't even help yourself? The best thing you could do for your children, if you love your children like you say you do,
mm-hmm.
you should be that strong parent
mm-hmm.
and go get counseling. I heard you when you said you volunteered that to your other friends, but you feel like you don't need it. I guarantee you, baby, you're the one who needed the most.
But she was wearing vinyl shoes.
My husband said she was wearing vinyl shoes.
Y'all so stupid, it's pathetic. I mean, that's really sickening.
What
I can't believe that people like you exist in America.
What,
I thought we had got beyond stupidity.
What vinyl shoes have to do with your son's death?
Exactly.
So in other words, the last formal that my son goes to, he's with a girl in a kind of an imitation fabric, satin, no boutonniere.
Ma'am, can I ask you, what does that have
vinyl
to do with your son's death?
Okay.
What's that, I'm sorry?
What does that have to do with your son's death?
Because he was distraught. He was distraught over the way she looked. He had to get drunk.
Okay, so if your son was wearing blue shoes, he would have lived, and because he was wearing black, he died? So
No, he was dressed fine. It was her, the way she was dressed.
Oh, so why don't you blame what your son had on? Did your son have it all black? That may have had something to do with it.
My son looked like he was right out of GQ.
My husband says our son looked great. He looked like he was right out of GQ.
And those are the kids that had the most problems.
You know, the best thing I could have done is told that vinyl shoe-wearing hobo to turn around and get back in her mother's pinto and go home.
You know what? I feel sorry for her mother. I feel sorry for her mother that she ever allowed her to go out with your son. You know why? Because you are sick, and
you know,
that probably rubbed off of her just a little bit. That girl has to walk around for the rest of her life knowing that her prom date died.
But wait a
minute. You sitting here on national radio saying this. You know what? I pray to God that nothing bad happened to you.
No, but here's the thing. The thing I wanted to say, she comes from a home, there's no father there. I don't know if you heard that or not. Okay.
So what? What does that have to do with anything? That
You're
makes
kidding.
Even more so reason why she didn't open her legs. That probably is reason why she didn't open her legs, because her mother told her not to give up your virginity until you are married.
I don't
is that not,
connection.
You know, make common sense to you?
I don't understand.
So I gather that you was a slut too then, right?
I don't understand the connection.
I gather that you was a slut then, right?
Well, you know, I haven't called you any names. I haven't called you a...
Well, I take that back. I'm sorry.
You know,
I take that back. I'm sorry. So I guess you were friendly with the guys in school, right?
I haven't called you a big fat hoochie mama.
And baby,
I
wear about 17,
all right. Look, ladies, okay?
That mother put that girl's hair in ringlets. Sweet Jesus. What are we talking, Nellie Olson or what?
Yeah, she had ringlets.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about the young lady that my son took out.
Ma'am, like I said, you need help. Get help. Just get help. That's all I can say to you, because there's nothing else to be said. I mean, you're beyond.
Well, we hired a guy.
You're gone.
The
mind is gone. Mm-hmm. And the only person that can bring you back is Jesus, really. But, you know, seek him and then do that. Get counseling, because that's the only two things that's going to bring you back from the world that you're in, because you're lost.
Well, we did hire a guy.
And I'm only 28 years old, and I see that. You're lost.
What do you mean you hired a guy?
We hired a man to work around the house. Isn't that what
she said? Get help in terms of mental, psychological.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That proves my point even more.
All right, Kinshasa, thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, did you hear that? She said, "You're welcome." That's a lot. That's the way they do that.
What do you mean? That's the way they do that. Some people fracture English. Not just black folks, white folks too.
Yeah, I heard you just went white folks.
What a jackass.
You know, Phil, you can call my husband a jackass on the other end of that phone, but when it comes time to lay pipe, that man is all man.
Holy God. Elise, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Hi, Elise. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
Mm-hmm. First, I just want to say that I'm really terribly sorry about your loss.
You really are? You really are?
I really am. That's all I can say. I don't know your son.
You're not just saying it.
No, from listening to this, I am sorry. It's very tragic for anyone to lose a child. But I also want to say that I'm 18 years old, and I've listened to everything you said. I've been in this girl's shoes. I'm a college freshman. I've been to plenty of formal college and high school. And never once have I thought that I needed to compromise my virginity and my morality to give a boy some fun on his prom night just because he took me out.
No, it's not. He died, though.
There is no way that she could have known that.
All right, but let me ask you this. If you knew that he was going to die, would you?
No. Because there is no way that I would
know
that he was going to die. That is God's choice if that's going to happen. And I'm very, very sorry that he did die. I'm very sorry.
That is so selfish. It really, I'm sorry.
That's selfish for me to compromise my virginity.
Oh, it's all about you, huh? He's going to die that night, but it's all about you, 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 you.
Well, wait a minute.
There is no way that anyone could have known that he would have died. No way. And as for the drinking, teenagers do that. I'm sorry. How do you know that he did it because she wouldn't put out? And maybe...
Well, I can tell you this. My husband, Steve...
I get drunk every time my wife cuts me off.
That doesn't mean your son does that.
Well, he's a chip off the old block.
Okay. You know what? It's been a bizarre day for me, Elise. I've had a lot of weird callers. Scott Peterson's been arrested. This is bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boo-hoo. Yes. Poor you. Boo-hoo.
Will you shut up?
You don't tell my wife to shut up.
I just told your wife to shut up. You too, Steve.
Just because you're not successful like me.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not successful. I don't have a big landscaping business like you got.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Well, Phil, I think you're leaving. I'm doing a very great disservice. I'm leaving the message. Young ladies who know that their dates are about to die in a flaming, twisting
car wreck. There is no way for someone to know that their date is about to die.
Well, what if you did? Then would you?
That's not possible.
Can
That's
we get
not
off this?
For someone to know that.
Dumb question. Dumb question. Thank you very much, Elise, for your call.
Thank you.
I think it's a stupid question, and I think that your son...
You sound retarded.
All right, I'm hanging up. I'm done. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. My son would be alive today if she put out. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
That was me doing the voice of Bobby Dooley in that bit. The people called in thought she was a real person. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. If you'd like to know more about our show, visit our website, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. And with that backstage pass, you can get into our audio archives, which is the whole reason for going to our website. And we're very proud of that because... Frankly, and I only say this with, because I have to say it, really. I don't know why anybody would want to go to a radio guy's website unless it was to listen to more of the guy's show, right? I mean, you get a little bit on the radio. Where can I get some more of it? Well, I'll go to my website. I got more stuff there. So that's what we do. But we also have other things in the website, too, especially our souvenir shop and our Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD. It's been the longest time since we've plugged this. And I really need to get back into plugging our CD because every year we do a Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD. This year's is called World Famous. What makes this year's CD different from years past is it's a double CD. But what makes it the same as every CD that we've ever done is that all of the money we raise from the sale of the CD goes to a place called My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Now, they come out here from all parts of the country, so if you're buying our CD, you're definitely helping someone who is probably from your neck of the woods. My Friend's Place is a resource center. What does that mean? It means that they have computers there, they have a shower, they have job listings, they have medical help, they have counseling, but it is not a shelter, it's not a homeless shelter, which is the thing that I like about it the most. They don't take kids in And as much as at risk these kids are by sleeping out on the street, they're not a shelter, so it's not a place where a kid just goes, takes advantage of what somebody may offer them just so they got a roof over their head. It's a place, it's an alternative place to hang out at from the time you get up in the morning, whatever storm drain you're living in, to the time you go to sleep at night and whatever dipsy dumpster you go to. It's a place where you can go and take a look at some things and say, gee, maybe I've been screwing my life up a little bit, or... you know, it's too late for me to blame my parents, even though they may be scumbags. I will turn my life around. So that's what we do. That's what they do. What we do is we sell our CD, and all the money, other than the production cost of the CD, goes to them. It's called My Friend's Place. You can check them out at homelessyouth.org, homelessyouth.org. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. If you haven't heard, DNA has proved that it is indeed the body of the bodies of Lacey and Connor Peterson. Scott Peterson was arrested between 11 and noon today, I believe somewhere in San Diego. I think it was, we were told that it was at the Torrey Pines golf course near San Diego. He is now on his way to Stanislaus County, and he will be arraigned Monday or Tuesday. He's in the custody of Modesto police. He will be charged with capital murder and possibly double homicide. This does not mean it's an automatic death penalty, but it is an option. The Modesto police took a lot of criticism from the Peterson family. The police were asked about that today, and they say that Lee and Jackie Peterson are now going to have to just deal with it. Police will not get into any other details. In a dramatic move on Friday, authorities in the North San Diego County community of La Jolla arrested Modesto's Scott Peterson, whose pregnant wife Lacey disappeared Christmas Eve. FBI and San Diego area law enforcement officers stopped Peterson's vehicle on Callan Road near the Torrey Pines Golf Course in La Jolla at 11 a.m., according to a guy named Bill Evans, who manages something called the Lodge at Torrey Pines. So he was on the road. He wasn't at the golf course. So he might have been driving there. He might not have any business at Torrey Pines at all. He was just on Callan there, which is off of Interstate 5, if I'm not mistaken. San Diego County Sheriff's spokeswoman Chris Saunders declined to comment. We can't say anything. It's not our case. Peterson hadn't been seen publicly since the bodies of a baby boy and woman were discovered a day apart and a mile apart in a shoreline park near Richmond beginning on Sunday. Now, we have a story here from way back when. This was in February, when the police first found traces of cement in Scott Peterson's boat. And we dug it up for you because there are two blocks apparently missing. Two blocks of cement apparently missing from the back of Mr. Peterson's house. The FBI, or the police, I should say, asked him where they were, and he said, well, they broke and I have them stored somewhere, etc. And that's what got them to thinking that they might have been used to weight the bodies, or the body of Lacey Peterson. Quoting from the story, and this is off of Associated Press, one of the things they found in that search were containers of cement, which Peterson said were for the people who were working on his pool. When police asked the pool workers, though, they said the cement was not theirs. Police asked the man who sold Peterson the boat, he said he was fishing on the day that his wife disappeared, to look it over and see if anything was different about it. He said that he saw traces of cement on the boat that were not there when he turned the boat over to Peterson. I know it wasn't that way when I sold it to him. The man, Bruce Peterson, who's not related to Scott Peterson, told a local news affiliate. So all that stuff put together is that it's possible that maybe the guy weighted her body down. But whatever it is, I've got to tell you something. This guy could not have been planning this for very... This is just my opinion. You can take this with a grain of salt and probably less. It just doesn't seem to me that he was planning this for very long. And I'll tell you why. These are some obvious missteps, aren't they? Leaving that kind of evidence in your boat. And the other thing is the fact that you know, he could have killed her in a fit of anger or passion. These psychopaths are like that. They all of a sudden just spring. They just go, you know. And he had to think of something fast. So he cut her up at the house, somehow got her out onto his boat, weighted her down with those blocks, and got rid of her. Because he sure as hell didn't cut her up in the boat. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.